Hi, welcome to the Strategy Session Podcast. I'm Chris Ruvo for ASI. Today we have a real renaissance man into chat. He's Jesse Itzler, serial entrepreneur, author, ultra-marathoner, and my favorite, former rapper. I think there might be an Emmy in there too. Jesse, who's currently a co-owner of the NBA's Atlanta Hawks, will be keynoting at the ASI Power Summit this October 14th through the 16th in Tucson, Arizona. Jesse is going to give some insights into that talk and other topics of interest to entrepreneurs. Jesse, thanks for hanging out with us for a bit.
Oh, I'm super excited about it. Thanks for having me.
All right, awesome. So let's jump into this. Just give us a little preview of your keynote, if you can. What are you going to hit on at the Power Summit?
We're going to cover a lot in a short amount of time. Okay. So I've had a very unconventional career as an entrepreneur. So I'll take everyone through my journey as an entrepreneur, and I think there'll be some nuggets that everybody can apply, regardless of the field that you're in. And I think it'll be really applicable. So I'll spend a little bit of time on that. And then I'm going to spend a little bit of time on talking about a Navy SEAL who came to live with my wife and myself. My wife is an entrepreneur. She owns Spanx here in Atlanta where we live. And we're going to share a little bit of the lessons that I learned from this SEAL and how I apply them to the main buckets of my life: wellness, family, business, and mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's going to get fired up and learn a lot, and I hope leave really inspired and leave with, you know, a lot of actionable takeaways that they can apply immediately to their lives.
That sounds exciting, and you hit on a lot of stuff we're hoping to even chat with you a little bit about now. You know, you mentioned your varied background. I mean, you've done everything from songwriting to musical performance. You've run various types of companies that you've started, record labels, airlines. You've written a best-selling book. Are there things that you do, you call them approaches or mindsets that you take, that are common to the success that you've had across your different ventures?
That's a really good question. You know, I've done things. What's unique about my background, I think, is that I've done things in so many different fields. I think the common with that are completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, part of the reason is I'm a big believer in checking the box and moving on. So, like, when you finish something, big or small, rather than dwelling on it and celebrating it for a long period of time, it's like, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. And I think when you do that and you're constantly kind of resetting your goals, you know, you're always moving the ball down the field. And the common theme for me in all those businesses, aside from passion, aside from, you know, is that I've made them, I think part of the success has been I've made them part of my lifestyle during the duration of time that they were a goal. So whether it was Marquee Jet or whatever it was I was doing, I always took the approach that, like, I never felt like it was work. It was my lifestyle. It was my lifestyle. And that's what I was doing during that period of time. I never felt like things were a chore. I never felt like the research, or it was just like this became my new lifestyle. I really took it on in all areas of my DNA for the time. And then when it was done, it was done. And I moved on to the next thing. And I put all my effort into that. I've always tried to be where my feet are. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried to be super present and not all over the place when I'm working on something. And I've always been very goal-oriented. I've always had the end of the movie, my goal, in my head. That never changes. It's unwavering, completely unwavering until it's accomplished. Except the script, the movie, the end of the movie stays the same. The script, how I get to the end of the movie, changes. So I've always envisioned I'd had this direct jet company when we started, for example, and I envisioned selling it. And that was always the end of the movie. That's always how it played out. But then I had to fill in the blanks to get there. Mm-hmm. And I had to, you know, write in the script along the way. And that changes.
That's really fascinating, and it kind of anticipates the next question. In fact, I think you answered it to a degree. What advice can you give to brands or to entrepreneurs that are doing something now, but they're kind of eager to branch out into something new and kind of grow in new ways, professionally and personally? What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, I think it's important in today's world where we live in instant everything. Mm-hmm. You can get information quickly. You can do anything. You can order stuff. It's delivered to your house in an hour, et cetera, that building a brand takes time. As an entrepreneur, we lose track of that. You know, we think it's just like we can cut corners and we can get there quickly. And like, I remember when I had Zico coconut water going to the president of Coca-Cola, and he looked me in the face. He said, it takes 8 years to build a brand in this country. Now, of course, there's exceptions, but not often. It takes time. So one of the first things I tell people when they're starting out is, like, you have to really appreciate the process because it's going to take a long time, which is point number two. The appreciation of the process as an entrepreneur is so important. And we talk about passion. You hear the word passion so often. And the passion to me as an entrepreneur isn't around the widget that you're developing. It's around the process of bringing the widget to life. So the late nights when everybody else is out at happy hour inviting you to go get a beer and you have to stay and work on your prototype and stay home and return emails because you're starting a business, that's part of the process. And if you don't have an appreciation for that and really understand that, that that's what you signed up for, you're going to go to happy hour. And so the passion isn't necessarily around the widget. It's around the process.
Really great insight there. And I wonder if that might translate over into, you know, another area of your life where you're very active. Super into fitness. You've done ultramarathons. You've done Sea Paddle in New York. How do you, are there things that you've learned in doing those athletic competitions that you've applied to your business life or vice versa?
Well, it's the same thing. I think, first of all, the courage, the persistence, the training, the preparation, the ability to deal with obstacles that you go through in an endurance race, it's the same courage, it's the same passion, it's the same process of starting a business. It's not like you have this courage muscle to go out and challenge yourself, you know, that's a different courage muscle for business. Like, that translates. So I think all of that builds up your grit. They say grit is the number one indicator of future success. So doing things like that to me, these challenges physically, they really help me learn about myself. They build up my grit muscle. More importantly, they give me discipline. You know, like training for an ultramarathon, training for a 100-mile run and getting up every single day. Again, not a chore. It's part of my lifestyle while I'm doing it. For the 90 days that I'm training, that becomes my lifestyle. I don't say I have to get up. I'm getting up because this is what I'm training for. That same discipline, when it's cold and raining and snowing and windy and dark and you want to stay in bed but you get up anyway, is the same discipline when everybody goes to happy hour and you want to stay, you have to stay and work on your prototype. So I think it completely translates.
It's very interesting. And to shift gears a little bit, obviously you've had a lot of different business ventures. We, of course, here at ASI are in the promotional products, branded merchandise industry. We were curious to what extent you've used branded merchandise and promotional products to help promote and grow your businesses.
It's been a huge part of all my businesses. At Marquee Jet, I think we made like 2 or 3 or 4 million hats.
Okay.
That was like our entire marketing budget for years. You know, we made, everything was branded. We gave away. I mean, that was just how we built our brand, you know.
And why was that so important? Did you feel that hats were a good vehicle for building your brand in that way?
It's just the best advertisement. I mean, for us, we had a lot of athletes and entertainers flying with us. So having them wearing our gear was a great, obviously it was a great endorsement. But if you could make a high quality hat and it became part of someone's rotation, daily rotation or weekly rotation, and that was the hat they grabbed, they just became a walking billboard. Multiply that by 2 million, that's a lot of impressions. So we invested a lot in that. It's also a very valuable gift. People love to get tchotchkes and gear and merchandise and pens and that kind of stuff. So it became something that people look forward from us. Every holiday, getting our gift bag. Every event, getting our swag bag.
All right, cool. So definitely sounds like a big part of your marketing mix, and we love to hear that. Well, maybe take it, though, personal here for a second. You're, of course, married to Sarah Blakely. I think everybody knows who Sarah is. She's the founder of Spanx. And you guys have four children, as I understand it. So it sounds like you're pretty busy, given all your both of your entrepreneurial ventures and your family. How do you kind of balance all that?
I say no
okay.
to a lot of things. I kind of have three main buckets, mm-hmm. you know, my wellness bucket, my business bucket, and my family/friends bucket. Mm-hmm. And if something doesn't fit into that, one of those three lanes, I usually mm-hmm. say no. So that's how I do it. I have to be really, really efficient with my time. So I don't dilly-dally. And I've eliminated a lot of the things that were just time suckers to create more time to fill those three buckets.
It's interesting stuff. Well, Jesse, we're all out of questions for you. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. We're, of course, really looking forward to seeing you speak at the ASI Power Summit in October. Jesse Itzler, thank you so much for being with us.
I can't wait for the summit. I can't wait for the summit. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, man. All right, hey, thank you so much again. You have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.